Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, February 6th, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're studying page 18, the second and third paragraph, which begins with, "We hope this volume," and ends with, "The psychiatrist and the doctor," two paragraphs. Today's readers are Mary Frances W. for the 12 Steps, Claudia C. for the 12 Traditions, Janice P.M. will read and comment on our text, Dion R. Will read page 164, Christina M. will greet our newcomers, and Jody E. will close us out with some announcements. Thank you all for your beautiful service. The reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 23189. That's 23189. And the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, February 5th, is 23187. That's 23187. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Mary Frances to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Mary Frances from Pennsylvania, and grateful to be here this morning. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances. Okay, I will now ask Claudia C. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Yes, this is Claudia C. from Los Angeles, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain person anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you for your service, Claudia C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 18, reading paragraphs 2 and 3, and I will now ask Janice P.M. to please begin reading for us.
And good morning. Pardon me. Good morning again, Elaine. This is Janice P.M. Welcome to all. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Paragraph 2. We hope this volume will inform and comfort those who are or who may be affected. There are many highly competent psychiatrists who have dealt with us, have found it sometimes impossible to persuade an alcoholic to discuss his situation without reserve. Strangely enough, wives, parents, and intimate friends usually find us even more unapproachable than do the psychiatrist and the doctor. Boy, oh boy. Now, we know, at least those that have been here for a while, that we've tried many diets, we've tried many ways, and we became hopeless. But this book is informing us of what the end results are going to be. The title of this chapter is There Is a Solution. Oh, hope. Hope is all around this book. Yeah, they're going to tell me in this book, they're going to inform me of what my true problem is. That's the phenomenon of craving, which is the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. So, okay, so we know through Bill's story that Dr. Silky gave Bill the problem, right? Okay. But he really didn't have the solution. And with this problem and illness that I have, I always thought, let me get the right food plan. Let me go to the right doctor. Let me, do this and then I'll be okay. But I was taught that I have a twofold disease. So what the psychiatrist that I've experienced as a compulsive overeater and doctors, they all meant so well. But if that doctor was not a compulsive overeater, he couldn't really, he did the best he could with his knowledge, but couldn't identify with me. And there was sometimes problems because why? Because through my illness, I was a liar. Oh, they'd say, Janice, how you doing? Well, I'm doing good. I followed the plan, but I don't know why I'm still, blah, blah, blah. Well, of course they don't know because I didn't tell them that when I was lonely, I would pick up and eat. But I would still follow the plan. So you see, the poor, competent psychiatrists. Now today, like was said previously, thank God they're more informed so they can help us. But they have their purpose in the world. But you see, my husband was a professional. He was a dentist. And I said, well, why don't you, could you, do my teeth, wire my teeth? And he said, yeah, I can do that. And I said, but how am I going to eat? He says, you have to eat through a straw. And I said, oh, no, I can't do that. So you see, nobody can persuade me, and I can't persuade another person, whether it's my son who has this illness. So the only thing through my experience is I found out what the problem is, okay, that I have an allergy physical, but I also have a spiritual problem. So,
gentle reminder.
I'm just going to wrap up with how I hurt my family, how I hurt my neurotic son saying, get the donuts, don't get the donuts, so they couldn't be approachable. So only this fellowship in God. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Janice PM. So appreciate your share. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple meetings and you'd like to, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name. We'll take a lineup.
Christina J. in Washington.
Donna B.
Who was that B?
Donna B., Massachusetts.
Donna B. Okay. Michelle,
yeah.
A.C. Oh.
Did you
Michelle,
get Christina?
Michelle A.C.?
Did you get Christina?
Yes, I did get Christina J.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa N.
Lisa N.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
W.W.
W.W.
Dion R.
Dion R.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Okay, that's a great lineup. Let's start with this. I'm going to read through. It's going to be Christina J., Donna B., Michelle A.C., Lisa N., Jordan L., Debbie W., Dion R., and Wendy M. So please share with us, Christina. You'll be followed by Donna B.
Okay, thank you, Christina J. in Washington. I love that this book will comfort those who are affected, and there are many. Because so many people around me were affected. And this book comforts not only through the information within it, but me working it, becoming a different person. And thus, people around me are affected. They feel something different in me. And so that's on that. But the real paragraph that's really speaking to me is that, why don't we want to tell? Why don't we want to show? We do show our bodies, for most of us, get large. I was taught competition as a young girl, right out the bat, competition. I'm in competition with everyone that's thin. I'm in competition with everyone that's a better singer. I'm in competition with, everything, how my hair color, it's curly, it's straight, it's this, it's that. There's competition from the beginning. And so my disease brings me into failure and shame because I can't control it. I can't compete with the thin girls. My mother's shame filled my bones since I was a little girl. She was so ashamed of her disease and her body, excruciatingly jealous. And you know, we're sponges as little kids. We absorb everything from our parents and those around us. We learn how to go out in life and act and be. So I was filled with shame and embarrassment of myself. I was tall as a young girl. Everybody else was shorter. I was ashamed of my height. I humped over when I walked. My husband's abuse, my first husband's abuse, because he couldn't take a woman that had even 5 pounds extra on her. Did I want to tell anyone what my problem was? Yes, so desperately, but I couldn't. I was locked in shame of what I was doing in parking lots, stuffing my face with tons of shit, you know. So step one is honesty. And honesty is impossible for me until I'm brought to my knees, until I find this program and say, oh my God, there is hope. And step one is honesty. But then it continues because I have to be honest with my sponsor. And it took me years to be able to tell her anything. I couldn't tell any doctor about my stuff. I tried. They didn't understand the kind of doctors I went to. So, but the sponsor, you know, understands because she's gone through this, the guide. But I still couldn't be honest because many people on this line seemed to be perfect to me. And then I went into competition again. And I went into failure and shame every time I picked up. I couldn't be honest. I was ashamed. So I would lie to my sponsor about my food. You know, I would lie about the program. I would lie about how many calls I was making. And all this stuff went on and on until I got completely honest and was able to say, what's going to happen if I'm not honest with her? Is she going to fire me? Well, so be it. I had to be willing, I'll finish up, to be completely honest and put my shame aside. And I'll tell you what I found. I found a sponsor that loved me through it all. So anyway, that's what I know today. Thank you all. I pass.
Thanks so much, Christina J. Donna B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Michelle A.C. Please share with us, Donna.
Hi. I'm Donna B. from Massachusetts. Glad to be here. This is home to me. I've had this disease for decades. I've lost a lot of, you know, precious years because of this disease, you know, and I know what it is to not want to go to a wedding, not wanted to, you know, to go to a family gathering because I couldn't fit into the same size. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I thought I just needed a diet, but I didn't just need a diet. I needed a new way of life. I had the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. This disease focuses in our mind. The reason why families, doctors, friends have been unsuccessful, because we couldn't relate to them. Only another alcoholic can help an alcoholic. And I find that to be true. With a recovered alcoholic, the 12 steps of spiritual awakening has to be worked every day. There is a solution, and that solution is where we are today. Overeaters Anonymous, I pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. Michelle A.C., you are
You're
up
welcome.
Next, please. Yeah, thank you. Please share with us, Michelle. Star one to unmute. Michelle A.C.?
Sorry about that. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And whew, does this paragraph speak to me? I have this horrible memory. I mean, it's so embarrassing of going to a doctor and needing to get a prescription to get a mammogram. And she wouldn't give it to me because she wanted to talk to me about my eating disorder first. And I was so self-righteous. Oh, my gosh. I was so horrified. I was furious at her. I wouldn't talk to her. And I said, I mean, and just looking at me at the time, I don't think anybody would have argued with her that that's what was going on. And yet I went from person to person telling them, can you believe she did that? And she was so well-meaning. And I you know, it's probably actually it's a ninth step amends I have to make now that I'm saying it out loud. But I definitely agree that, like, there was nobody who could talk to me about what was going on with me because I didn't think anybody understood. And fast forward, here I am in recovery, going over obsessive food behaviors with a new sponsee yesterday. And I realized that what comfort looks like is not blotting out the intolerable situation. That I live in comfort for me now is telling the truth and telling on myself and laughing with somebody while we talk about these horrible behaviors that we've engaged in and that we both can resonate with. And just being in a position where the worst things in my life now are the things that help me to relate to other compulsive overeaters is astounding to me. And it's exactly what the book promises, right? And I just love that we're going to say in a paragraph that we're armed with the truth about it, or the facts about ourselves. And I am now armed with the facts about myself. And in working with others, I learn more facts about myself and I learn facts about them. And that level of comfort continues to go up and up and up. And that comfort and the confidence and the understanding that this program brings me is soul satisfying in a deep way. And part of it is knowing that I have a higher power who accepted me then and accepts me now, and, you know, who through the steps I've learned is present in my life and loves me. And that allows me then to say things to people I just never could have said before, and to say it with joy and freedom and release. So that's my gratitude today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Michelle A.C. Lisa N., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Lisa N., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. So nice to be with y'all live today. The first tiny little paragraph there, I love the hope that those two little sentences give. If somebody's willing, you know, somebody's willing to understand our illness. And then the second one, oh my God, I don't even know how many, there's no way I could count how many doctors or psychiatrists or therapists or, you know, anybody that I could make understand my situation. I mean, you know, when it's a highly competent psychiatrists who have dealt with us have found it sometimes impossible to persuade an alcoholic compulsive overeater to discuss his situation without reserve. The reserve was that I couldn't get anybody to understand me. I mean, and I love how the next paragraph is where it's freaking awesome. The only person who is going to get me is another compulsive overeater, is another addict. They're going to get me. It's like they live in my mind, you know, we are the same. And so at this point, you know, it's not that I've given up, you know, trying to explain to people or anything. I have a situation at work right now, which is really kind of weird. You know, people, they don't understand why I eat the way I eat. And sometimes I can get really jumbled in my head, like trying to, you know, like I want to kind of explain it in a nonchalant way. And then I'm like, oh, how much do I say? Blah, blah, blah. But you know what? It's not up to me to persuade anybody. Bottom line is, yeah, God is going to put somebody in my life if he wants me to help them, you know, to be of service to them. And the people that get me are y'all. Y'all get me. You get it. All the crazy stuff I did, the links that I went to, blah, blah, blah. And that's really, you know, all that matters today. So grateful to be with y'all, and I'll pass.
We so get it. Thank you, Lisa. And Jordan L., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Debbie W. Please share with us, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. Thank you for moderating for the meeting for us this morning. My name is Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. So this paragraph is interesting. It doesn't spell it out explicitly, but when I read this, what it makes me think about is denial. I guess the other thing it makes me think about is kind of the general, the generational nature of this disease. At least in my case, I'm someone who comes from a long line of alcoholics and compulsive overeaters. And the denial that I inherited as a result of that, it ran deep. I used to, when I was in the disease and in the food, I would start fights with people and loved ones and those that were trying to like confront me or help me about my compulsive overeating. I would start an argument with them just to get them to leave me alone. I would say awful things that usually weren't true anyway. Just to get people to leave me alone, you know? and it's funny, these days I see that in other members of my family, as a result of them kind of participating in the disease and continuing to do that. I have to like learn to kind of like hone these spiritual skills, you know? And I don't say that in a way of like, look at me, I'm so wonderful, I'm so spiritual or anything like that. What I mean is that like today my job is to be effective. Like the 10 step tells us, it's to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So I have to start to understand, like as a recovered person, I have to start to understand the effective way to deal with this disease, including like some of the family members that I might see signs of it in, you know. And I definitely have to learn to be effective when it comes to denial and breaking through that. That's a really effective skill for sponsoring and even moving through the world in other ways in some of my other affairs. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thanks, Jordan.
I'll pass.
Perfect timing.
Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you. Okay, WW, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Dion R. Please share with us, Debbie.
Hi, this is WW. I'm supposed to read today. But I'd like to share that that God is so good and that this program has changed my life. That reading the big book, following the steps, putting God first has changed my life, and it's so much better. And the previous person was talking about denial. Oh, man, denial, dread. That's just what I lived in. And now I don't have to because I have a way out. And the way out is through the steps with my God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Debbie W. I have you as reading page 164 today. So thank you for that service.
Great.
Dion R., you're up next. Please share with us.
Okay. Rules. This is Dion. Rules has changed. I'm like, okay. This is Dion. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And today, what stood out to me is reserve. It says holding back something, skeptical, caution, or lack of enthusiasm. And it reminds me that part in here says, which many have already expounded on, highly confident, psychiatrists who have dealt with this found it impossible to persuade an alcoholic to discuss his situation without reserve. Always withholding back. I never told the truth to my doctors. And of course, like many people said, I held back and I was skeptical when I came into the program until I heard someone share their experience, strength, and hope. More importantly, until I saw the pictures. When I saw people share their pictures, I was like, oh, this is, I can do this too. If that person can do it, maybe there's hope for me too. And the other part that stuck out for me is that the first paragraph, first two sentences, it says, we hope this volume will inform and comfort those who are or who may be affected. That was me. And then that part behind it, that sentence behind it, there are many. And there are many compulsive overeaters that this book could help if we want it. And if we don't want it, if I didn't want it, I couldn't receive it. I lost many church friends to this disease. I think about how we would do everything around food-related events. There were so many of us affected by the disease of compulsive overeating or overeating. I'll say that I can't call them a compulsive overeater, but I am a compulsive overeater. But we were heavy eaters, and today a lot of them are dead. And they say there are many. That just makes me think today how so many people, but they have to be ready like I was. I can't, and I tried. I tried want to sell the program on them, and that doesn't work. I'm learning just to take care and be the light. And if somebody can catch a light, fine. If they can't, I got to live my best life. Like the first share has spoke on. Many people will try, but until that person is ready, there's nothing we can do. So it sounds hopeless, but it's also there's hope in this paragraph. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thanks so much, Dion R. Appreciate your share. After Wendy M., we'll take another lineup, and I just want to let everybody know that though we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we'll take some more shares after Wendy M. Please share with us, Wendy.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, Wendy M., recovering in Boulder, Colorado. So I have this compulsion for people to understand me. So I'm like, understand me, stay away. Come close, stay away. Let me explain. So like the people who don't get it, right? Like I literally had a relative like years ago. He came up behind me and held my belly and he said, what's really going on here, right? I'm like, I'm irritated and I want to shut the door down. Like, don't you dare talk to me about something I don't want to look at. Don't you dare give focus to it, right? Come close, go away. And then today, right, I've been in 25 years and all like a friend will be like, I found the perfect restaurant for you. You can eat at this restaurant. You'll be fine. And literally when we went, she ordered a friggin' dish for me that she thought I would, that she thought would be abstinent for me. Now you might interpret this as lovely. For me, it was get away. Do not talk to me about my program. Come close, go away. And the other thing is get me. A big piece is get me. Like 25 years, no sugar, no flour, right? And my mom, every time we go out, is what dessert would you like, right? So I wish you would understand me, Mom. I wish you would get me. Don't you know who I am, you know? And at the same time, leave me alone. I will find friends. I have another friend. We go out to the restaurant, and she literally points to the things I should order. Leave me alone. This is my disease. Where are my OA friends right now? Where are my fellows, right? So it's just, it's interesting to me. And I remember my brother too, with the very first night I went out 25 years ago, we were at a restaurant and he said, you have such good willpower. And I literally wanted to show him the book, the big book, and say, it's not about my willpower, right? You know, I just want all these people to get it, just get it, right? And I have this horrible feeling that the ones that really like to focus on what I'm eating, which happens at, you know, at parties and whatnot, I'm guessing they may have this one too, but I don't know. I won't do their inventory. But yeah, that's what happens for me. Get me. Don't get me. Push, you know, don't talk to me about my program. You know, I have fellows for that. I get so riled up, I'll be honest. And the other thing I want to say, if I have 2 seconds left, is it says there is a solution. That means there is a solution. That means it exists, right? And then there is a solution. That means that my solution is this big book in God and all of you and the 12 steps. So I actually have a way out. Even, you know, I probably should do a ton of inventories on all these people who are commenting on my food. You know, it's just, this is my issue, not theirs. And I think the last thing I want to just admit to you guys is, yeah, the food is down and, you know, relationship challenges are up. And I don't want you guys to see me, what I'm like in a relationship right now. I'm an infant. You know, I ate over relationships. I ate over intimacy. And guess what's popping up? You got it. God wants me to get closer to him right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. Appreciate it. So again, if you haven't shared in the last few days and you'd like to, we're going to take a lineup of maybe four. We may have room for five, but let's take four for now. Who'd like to share?
Nadia B.
Eileen M. And I heard somebody else with Eileen M. Who was that?
Holly M. from Colorado.
So, I heard somebody S and someone from Colorado.
LT from Colorado.
I'm not getting your first name. Could you say it one more time?
Sure, Danielle. This is Danielle T.
Thank
from
you,
Colorado.
Danielle. Danielle T from Colorado. Thank you. And somebody came in before her, had S. Who was that again?
Holly M. from Florida.
Is it Holly?
Holly like
M.
the tree.
Holly M. Okay. And
Christina
one more.
Christina M.
Christina M. Great.
Marion H.
If we have time for you, Marion H., we will have you share as well. So I've got Nadia B., Eileen M., Holly M., Danielle in Colorado, Danielle T., I believe, Christina in Massachusetts, and Marion, if there's time for you too. Christina and Marion, I'm hoping there's time for both of you. So Nadia B., please share with us, and you're followed by Eileen M.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your service. Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And to me, this paragraph screams fear. You know, when you have no solution, when you're so scared, and that's for me, I was so scared that there was no solution because I've tried, you know, I knew I had no power. And so many things that I've tried, you know, we know that nobody except for people, I thought I was so unique. I thought I was the only one, and I was so scared of dying because I knew I could not control this compulsive overeating to save my life. I knew that I had no power, that I needed power greater than myself. And somehow I also knew that other people did not have this condition. I watched my husband, my mom, my sister, everybody eating like normally, nonchalant. And I couldn't do it. I had no power. I had such desire to stop eating the way that I was eating, but I had no power. And it scared me. It scared me to death, knowing that you have a deadly disease and have no solution. I love this chapter because it describes the solution a little bit. But I think for me, why I couldn't relate or discuss those things with therapists, psychiatrists, even with my family, with my friends, just because of fear. And fear is a corroding threat to our condition, fear, shame, knowing that there is nothing that is going to help me, and knowing that there is no human power unless, for me, the first time that I had, that I heard the solution, I didn't like that. I didn't like the solution was God because it was unknown to me and I was scared of it. So today I'm very grateful that I know there is power greater than this disease. I'm very grateful for this power. I'm very grateful that that power, searched for me and rescued me from the nervous, crazy wreck that I was. But I just, today I know that that you guys are very special people for me, people that have found the power that restores us to sanity. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nadia B. Eileen M., you're up next, followed by Holly M. Please share with us, Eileen.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. My name is Eileen M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And I love this meeting, and the shares have been wonderful so far. It was bringing me back to a time in my life. I was about 16 years old, and I was exhibiting the early stages of bulimia. I was binge eating and throwing up, and I had a lot of shame about that. And I remember going to this family doctor that we had, and I told him about this and told him how I couldn't stop doing this. And, I just still remember the expression on his face. I mean, he appeared to be alarmed, but he had no solution to offer me. I mean, I don't even remember him saying anything. And I remember leaving there and just feeling so discouraged. I just thought I had hoped that he would have an answer. And I didn't find this program until I was 26. And, I struggled for years before I found the solution. I found the solution in this meeting that we are on. And I'm so grateful for this meeting. It was actually a 7 a.m. meeting, but... because I mean, I would sit in the rooms, the local rooms here of OA, and I would struggle. I was struggling, but yet I was telling myself, I'm not that bad. And, it's like I was trying to convince myself that, hey, somehow I'm superior to the other people here, not as bad as they are. I was identifying out. I didn't even know that I was doing that. And, as long as I was doing that, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to hear the solution. And, wow, it's like I had to be entirely beaten in order to stop resisting. And, I love this meeting so much, A Vision for You. And, we don't just read the big book. How I hear people all the time, they call me and they say, oh, yeah, I read the big book. It's like, well, we don't just read it, we study it. And that's a big difference. We study it. And I'm so grateful for all of you. So thank you so much. I pass.
Grateful for you, too, Eileen M. in New Hampshire. Holly M., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Danielle T. Please share with us, Holly. Holly M.? Hi, Holly. Where are you calling from? Thank you.
Southwest Florida.
And could you speak up just a little bit more so we can hear you better?
Sure. This is Holly M. from Southwest Florida.
Thank you. Please share with us.
I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I really identified with the sense of desperation in this paragraph. I was eating my desperation. I was eating like it would save me from drowning, eating all my feelings when I wasn't restricting all my feelings. I was completely out of control, and no one understood. Not doctors, not nurses, not counselors, and I just was absolutely frantic to find some kind of help. I knew that there was something wrong and that I couldn't do it alone. I couldn't do it by myself. That's what I said to the doctor the last couple of years. I can't do this. And finally, I said, I'm willing to try an OA meeting because I didn't know what else to do. And I came in knowing on some gut level that what was wrong with me was not just the food. But I had this like crazy thinking. I didn't know how to live my life anymore. And what shocked me to the core was I heard my words, my thoughts coming out of other people's mouths in these meetings. Like, oh my God, I've found my people. These people are crazy the same way I'm crazy. But the fear underneath that was what worked for them won't work for me. I'm terminally unique. They made it, but I'm not going to. And I felt that way pretty constantly the first couple of years. I came in a program at age 56 and 59 now. And my life is not perfect, but it is 10,000 times better than it was. I was not able to work. I was crying all the time. I wasn't going to kill myself, but I didn't want to be alive. And now I have a life that I can enjoy and appreciate. I can have feelings without having to eat everything that covered over them. I can call somebody, and 9 times out of 10, they know what I'm talking about. And to not have to be alone with this disease anymore is the greatest gift ever. And I'm just so thankful to be here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. And Christina, we have time for a 2-minute share if you'd like to share with us. Christina in Massachusetts.
Great. Thank you so much. I will be brief. Hi, everyone. I'm Christina. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And I just wanted to share, the shares have been so great this morning. And what this paragraph, what it spoke to me about was the power of identification. And, you know, I'll never forget my first OA meeting, which was just about 20 years ago. I was in my early 30s. It was New York City. I had been struggling with compulsive overeating and weight for almost my entire life. Every memory I ever had to do with food and food obsession. And somehow I found and I was never able to be honest with any medical professionals, no matter how well-meaning they were. It was just impossible. I had so much shame. But I found my way to an OA meeting, and I was dumbfounded because there was a speaker who was sharing, and I never, you know, I'd never seen this person before. I had nothing about OA. And the speaker shared these like very specific, intimate details about that were identical to the way that I ate. They talked about, you know, getting up in the middle of the night and going into the kitchen and eating, you know, just mindlessly, which was exactly what I did. And I was just, I could not believe the power of what I felt in that moment, that there was someone else who was openly talking about this thing that I filled me with so much shame my whole life. And I believe, you know, that was the beginning of this journey in OA. And obviously there was a lot for me and still a lot for me to learn, but, that's why I could never do it alone. I can't do it alone. I have to be around other compulsive overeaters who understand what it feels like to have this, you know, to eat against my will, to know what it feels like to be in the grips of this illness. And there was no other way for me. So thank you so much. I will wrap it up there and I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Christina Ann. And Marion, I'm so sorry, we don't have time. So we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will WW please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is WW. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you can't transmit anything you haven't got.
See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely need some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.